Alma chapter 43. We need to sit back and recall the situation now again that caused Alma to take his sons and others and go out to preach to the people, and that is that the Nephites were not really following the Lord as they should, and they were beginning to put their hearts on the riches and other things and kind of just put the Lord in the background, even as today that we are again or only have the Lord as kind of a secondary thing in our life. Again, the Nephites were not into what we'd call complete apostasy, but meaning that they still believed in the Lord, they still worshipped him and so forth, they just was making him a secondary thing in their life. And so Alma and his sons continue to preach amongst the people, and it then says how they preach, and in verse 2 it says, they preached according to the spirit of prophecy and revelation. Now this we've heard over and over again, this is the way we do missionary works, this is the way we preach, and what does that mean? Again, what is the spirit of revelation? Revelation means that you read scripture and then you reveal the truths of those scriptures. And prophecy means is akin to that, meaning that we read the prophecies of the past and we talk about their fulfillment. And then we give more information concerning their fulfillment, which has to do also with if the people repent, then this is what they'll receive. If they do not repent, what they will receive. And if they're wicked, we call forth their wickedness and explain what then they can expect, and that's the prophecy. But to me, the strongest portion here, though, is the revelation. They don't make up their own set lessons, or they don't just go forth and talk out of their own mind. They talk from Scripture, and they go through the Scripture and reveal the meaning of that Scripture. And again, we don't have that today, do we? We don't have. None of our leaders have the faith at all that the Book of Mormon applies to us, or that even if it did, how to read into it and then have the Spirit. Now notice again, the point is the Spirit. The Spirit tells us how to reveal these things and what to say about them at the specific times. But nonetheless, if we're truly in tune with God, and then all Scripture is related to our day, and we can continue to always be able to use Scripture for the basis of all our preaching. Well, then it says in verses 3 through 6 that the Lamanites decide to come to war. And they appoint the Zoramites and the Amalekites as all their leaders because of their great hatred for the Nephites. Well, then again we say, well, the idea that they're coming to avenge their fathers, meaning, you know, that's the traditions of the fathers of the Lamanites against the Nephites, it is just not true. That's always been that's just a lie that they use to come forth. And then they say that the real reason that they come forth, meaning the real reason that the leader of them, called Zerahemnah, wanted to come to a battle, was that he wanted power. He wanted to establish a kingdom over all the land. It was kind of like today when everybody wants to establish a world government, and they want to have this power to be in head of it. They just want to be over more and more people, and they're interested in power and to force and control people, which is what Satan wanted to do. He wanted to force and control people. And so we can see, again, we have no desires for power. A righteous man cares not at all about power. And we have to ask ourselves today, do we even, when we even select our leaders, or we even create anything in government, we say, is this to create power? Do we even talk about, is this for power? In fact, almost everybody recognizes, yes, most things that a government does, business is doing, everything is to create more and more power for other people and give them power positions. And that's the motivation. If that's the motivation, it's evil. And we need to speak out clearly against that and make it clear. But it's a sign of an extremely evil society. And so, again, we look like the... Today we are more akin to the desires of the Lamanites. Well, and then it goes on to say that in verse 10, that the real intent of all the Lamanites is to destroy the true followers of Christ. And most specifically, it says in verse 11, the people of Ammon. Now, these aren't the Nephites, so again, we're not using any of the old traditions of the fathers' reasons. It's obviously just that these are things inspired by the devil. We see the devil is clearly in charge, and all he wants to do is destroy Christ and the followers of Christ and all the works of Christ. And again, remember, the people of the of Ammon are the major true followers of Christ. Everybody else has began to slip off into just making the Lord a secondary thing. Now, why are we having this war again? Okay, we're having this war to stir the people, to stir the Nephites up into remembrance of the of their Lord. I mean, and he's told us this over and over again. That's why he kept sending the Lamanites against the Nephites, to stir them up. Well, so who's the war against? The war, I mean, who has to fight the war of the Nephites? See, the people of Ammon don't have to fight this war here. Now, someone has to therefore say, you know, someone might want to take the superficial, carnal-eyed view and say, well, see, look at these wonderful Nephites defending the people of Ammon. Well, that's not the situation. The situation is that the Nephites were the ones that were wicked, and the Nephites are the ones that have brought the war onto themselves in order for the Lord to stir them up. And so it wasn't. So they're not defending the people of Ammon, no matter what the call of the Lamanites are, and no matter why they say they're at war. We go again then what the real cause is, and the cause is the Nephites' wickedness. And that the Lord is not first in their life. We're not talking about them being a grossly apostate people like the Lamanites. They've just made the Lord second in their life. Well, then in verses 19 and 20, it shows the differences in the preparation. The Nephites were still an industrious people, and they prepared with all sorts of armor and everything for their men. And when they came to the Lamanites were naked. And so they really hadn't prepared themselves for it. Of course, they were a lazier people. And again, the further we fall away from the Lord, the more lazy we get, just as today. Who reaps the benefits of our society? The lazy, the ones that don't want to do anything, want to sit around. They don't want to produce. But those who produce are made to be the slaves of others, and they're the ones that have to work, and they receive the lesser portion. That's what always happened. That's what the Lamanites wanted to do. That's what they wanted to establish. They wanted to establish this kingdom because they looked at the industry of the Nephites and said, well, let's go make that, put them under us, and then we can live lazily, and at the same time we'll destroy the followers of Christ. If you really understood how this is so much the side of man, because if they truly destroyed all the people of Ammon and all the followers of Christ, then the rest of the people become just like them, and they wouldn't progress. They wouldn't have the industry. The industry comes from the person who is following the Lord. And again, why is that? Because in their lives they're not trying to seek the comforts and of life and the entertainments and the relaxations and the free times of life. They're just trying to do whatever it is in this life that gives them the experience that the Lord wants them to have to overcome their sins and prepare for the next life. See, and so it hasn't got as much meaning. But they again find through industry and hard work that's what keeps them that gives them the best experience in growth and in growth of self. Well, when the Lamanites see all this preparation and how well they're armed, they turn around and run away, and then they decide that they'll hope to come against the Lamanites in some unexpected portion of the land. So then Moroni sends sends some men to ask Alma where they should go to get the spirit of prophecy again. Now, again, it's really important to see that that their leaders still recognize recognize the Lord needed. They needed the help of the Lord, and Moroni did this. Notice that Moroni didn't have his own prophecy at this time. I think later you'll see that Moroni grows in his strength in the Lord, and he is able to now then lead the people more directly in the Lord. Also, then Alma says to go to Manti. And so they go there. And Moroni takes the army there, and according to what Alma has received from the Lord. Again, they have some faith, and they believe in that. I'm sure that there's plenty of other things to say, well, you shouldn't, it would be wiser if you do something else, or it makes more sense to do something else. Notice also when he leaves, that Moroni leaves part of his army in that portion of land. Again, we see that wasn't necessary. But you know, he was following a little bit of the sights of man instead of doing what he really felt was more correct. Meaning just putting all his trust in the Lord. Well, then it goes on to say that since how all that the Nephites are trying to do is defend themselves in their land, they feel that it's not wrong to use a stratagem, which means trickery. And so his trickery is that he conceals his army, and then he comes down on the Lamanites in surprise. And by doing that, the Nephites are able to do a great slaughter to the naked skins of the Lamanites. Well, the Lamanites are beginning to be surrounded and be taken, have their lives taken, then they begin to fight harder. The dissenters inspire them to fight harder by reminding them that they outnumber the Nephites by better than 2 to 1. So the Nephites began to be somewhat afraid, and they began to think that perhaps that they would give way. Well, Moroni then runs unto the Nephites and says to, he inspires them with words of freedom. And so therefore at this point, the Nephites begin to call upon their God for help. Now, isn't this exactly what we finally getting to the point of, is that all the Lord is doing is trying to stir them up to turn back to Him and make Him the focus of their life. Well, again, in our lives today, how much is war? Do we think of war being associated with God? No. We just think of it being on our own back. Well, these men, at least, would turn back to God. And so, again, we could see that even though they had great destruction brought upon them, they were in a much more righteous state than we are today. And, again, we continue to see the prophecy in the Book of Mormon that we can expect some heavy judgments to be coming down upon us today. Well, as soon as they've turned to God, this turns the tide of the battle, and they're able to surround the Lamanites, and the Lamanites become feared, and so therefore Moroni stops the battle. And this is important to see, as we see again, that they weren't thirsting for blood, they weren't thirsting for revenge. All they wanted to do was just to be left alone and have their freedom and have their lands and their right to worship. We will also notice that the reason that the Nephites were fighting too was they felt that was their duty to God, and that God had told them to defend their families and their religion and their liberty and so forth. But they felt they had that duty to God, so they did. Again, this is important to us. We see they were not, as we said, a completely apostate or atheistic people. They were. They had just, as we have today, put the Lord in the backs of their minds, or secondary in their lives, which was therefore leading them to be more and more and more worldly, because again, the only thing that we can do, the only purpose of life, is to be focused on the Lord.